What is the appropriate response of the church and the pro-life movement to miscarriage? Find out next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Father Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined, as usual, by our Associate Director, Janet Morana. Brothers and sisters, there is a deep prejudice in our society against the unborn child. We see that most dramatically in the ongoing tragedy of abortion. But even in the way in which we speak about the unborn in reference to pregnancy and in reference to miscarriage, we also see so often this lack of awareness that we're talking about a real person with real rights and dignity. Janet, today we're going to talk to our special guests, Sean and Cambra Malone from Columbus, Ohio, who have been through an experience that we have also seen in many other couples across the country, that they've lost the child by miscarriage and have wanted to show that child the dignity and the preciousness that the child deserves, and have encountered some people who understood that and others who didn't.
That's right. You know, it's very sad to say that most people don't even realize they have a right to ask for their child's remains, you know, when they have a miscarriage. And cases like the Malones, it's really a great hope for us to be able to tell other couples, you know, look, if this happens, you have rights here. This is your child, and it's sad, but in the death of your child, you have to stand up for that child and fight in order to have a proper burial.
Well, they gave a marvelous example by what they did through this experience, and now they've started a ministry to help other couples to do the same. So let's talk with Cambra, who's joining us by phone from Columbus, Ohio. Cambra, great to have you on the program.
Thank you for having us, Father.
When I first met you, we, together with your husband, Sean, discussed the experience that you had in the pregnancy and then the loss of Gabriel Francis, your baby. Tell us what happened.
I was around 13 weeks pregnant. They couldn't find the baby's heartbeat. So my physician took me to the ultrasound room to find out that our baby had indeed died. At that point, that's when things really kind of started spinning out of control. We left the doctor's office. Our first call was to our own parish. And honestly, the priest at our parish at that time told us to call the hospital to see what they would do.
Well, what were you asking the priest when you called him?
We wanted to have a funeral mass and a burial for our baby. You know, we believe, of course, that life begins at conception. But, you know, I had also seen this baby already 3 times on ultrasound, which I think is such a powerful tool.
Yes, yes.
And so that's what we ask of our priest when we call. We were asking for a funeral, mass, and burial. You know, I'd never had a loss before. I had no idea what the protocol would be.
Right.
So upon his advice, he told us to call the hospital. I didn't want to call the hospital. I knew what the hospital would say. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, we found ourselves flipping through the yellow pages trying to figure out what we were going to do now with this baby.
And the baby at this point was still inside of you. So
yes.
Here you and your husband know the baby has died. We want to have a proper burial and funeral. Who's going to help us? And it sounds like your priest was somewhat taken by surprise by this request.
Very much so.
But then, Cameron, how were you able to arrange then, make the arrangements?
My first phone call through the Yellow Pages was to the Catholic Cemeteries of Columbus. And once I made contact with them, they, you know, I felt crazy. I said, you know, I have this baby, 13 weeks, I don't know what to do. And they really put my mind to rest in saying that, yes, many babies have been buried there at that age, and that indeed we could bury our baby there. But then my next step was, how can I find a priest who's going to support this?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to say the Mass for us? And that is when we had been longtime friends with Father Bluebaugh. You know, he was at a parish well over an hour away from where we lived. He had his own parishioners to take care of, but I made the phone call to him. And once I made the contact with Father Blue, from there on out, he took care of everything.
Well, Father Blue was ready for this, and we're going to talk to him in the second part of our program. Sounds like the cemetery professionals were ready as well. So talk to us about how did you feel during those 2 days when you had your now deceased child within you? Were those positive moments? Or tell us a little bit about that.
Well, honestly, at first, I felt very strange. And then, you know, to think that this baby that we thought was, you know, was going to come into our home, be with our family, with our children, I had all those feelings of deep grief and disappointment. And then I did have a thought in my head that probably many mothers have that have found out that their babies have died, that, you know, this is their body, it deserves respect, but that their soul is already in heaven. And I really had to comfort myself with that thought. And also, I found myself really cherishing those moments until I went to the hospital to have that baby. Because even though that was only that child's body, that was the closest I would be to that body for a long time. And that may sound strange to some people, but being a mother, that's something that's very, very cherished.
That's very, very special, yes.
Yeah. How were you able, Canberra, to arrange things now with the hospital? Because I know with a lot of couples, I hear that that's the biggest hurdle, too, is getting your child's remains from the hospital.
When we got there, I was taken back by myself, which I think is very inappropriate for someone who is mourning the loss of their child. I sat for at least 45 minutes sitting in a chair crying. We were trying to express to the hospital personnel that we wanted to take the remains of our baby, leave them at the hospital in the morgue, where most people go when they die, and have Father Blue or the cemetery pick up the remains of our baby for funeral mass and burial. Not once, not twice, but 3 times we had people come in my room. They never, ever referred to our baby as a baby. It was constantly our conceptual remains, which was absolutely appalling to me.
Yes. And we're talking, Canberra, about a Catholic hospital, right?
This is a Catholic hospital in the Columbus area, yes. They acted like they had never had a request like this before. There was a bunch of whispering, scurrying, you know, and I'm getting ready to go back to have this baby. I am very upset. My husband finally comes back. When he comes in to hear that they're referring to his child as conceptual remains, he was visibly shaken and quite upset. The long and the short of it is, I go back to have the baby. When I come out and I'm alert and my husband is finally reunited with me, my question to my husband was, because it wasn't settled before I went in, where is the baby?
Mm-hmm.
And Sean had to look at me and say, the baby is in the trunk of the car.
Wow. Wow. Well, why don't we get Sean on the line, because I know he's got his perspective of this experience to share with us, both the positive and the negative aspects of it. Sean, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on, Father Pavone.
Canberra has done very well in sharing the initial experience. Tell us what this was like from your perspective.
I was devastated. And again, as Canberra said, I came home and we just didn't know what to do. This wasn't grandma. This wasn't somebody who had cancer, who had been sick for a very long time. It was totally unexpected. And we just found ourselves looking for resources, and when we called our parish priest, and he, you know, in our minds, okay, that's not a resource now, because he told us something that we didn't want to do. We were just scurrying, like Canberra said, through the Yellow Pages. What really hurt the most was at the hospital, because we had worked it out with our doctor. Our doctor knew our wishes. Our doctor was fine with our wishes and encouraged us to do that. But when I came back, as I was, you know, asking Canberra how she was doing, the nurse came in again and asked Canberra and myself, now I want to make sure you're asking for the conceptual remains.
Hmm.
I really didn't understand that term. I wasn't expecting it. I thought they meant the placenta, the umbilical cord, something like that.
Right,
and
right.
I said, no, we just want the baby. She kind of had this look of like, oh, well, now what do I do? Because he said the same thing she said. And it wasn't like, okay, we understand and that's fine. It was like this look of, oh, man, what do we do with these people?
Yeah, this was something unusual for them. So after the surgery, they gave you the baby, in fact, in one of these bags.
the doctor came out and he asked me to come back in the room, and he told me that, you know, the surgery went well, as you know, as could be expected. Mom was doing fine, and he had something for me. So I said, okay. And he pulled out a white garment bag, like you would take, you know, your clothes home from a surgery or from the hospital then. And then inside of that bag, he pulled out an orange Ziploc, bright orange Ziploc bag with a skull and crossbones that said biohazard waste on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I have your baby.
So what we see here is ultimately your wishes were accommodated, but I get the word that comes to my mind in the course of all this, besides, of course, insensitive, is just clumsy. The whole thing was clumsy. And this now is part of what you and Canberra are doing now is to, and we want to join with you in doing this, is to help to sensitize people in the various professions, the clergy, the medical professions, the hospitals, the cemeteries, to sensitize them to the needs of couples like you to have a proper, respectful, dignified burial for children who die before birth. Well, Sean, we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we want to talk with Father Blue, and we're very happy that he's available today to share his part of the story with us.
Okay.
And then we're going to hear about the wonderful ministry that you and your wife have begun.
That's the exciting part. That'll be great.
Yes. Well, thank you. And friends, stay with us here on Gospel of Life. We'll be right back with Sean and Canberra Malone.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Now you can make a difference in the lives of the unborn for as little as $12. Make your donation today and we'll send you a copy of the pro-life masterpiece, Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. Vivid imagery and striking colors come together in a painting that captures the essence of eternal hope for the unborn. You'll help change the hearts and lives of people everywhere. Plus, you'll have a treasured piece of artwork that serves as a daily reminder of the beauty of precious living souls. Make your donation today.
Well, welcome back. We're going to talk now with Father Blue, who helped Sean and Canberra Malone to deal with their miscarriage and their request to give a proper burial and funeral to their child. Father Blue, thanks for joining us on the program today.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure to be here.
Tell us about the day that you received the call from the Malones. Had you encountered this request before to have a funeral for a miscarried child?
I have done that with occasional families in the past when they have come to where I was assigned in the parish, and this was a family I knew as friends, and I think the response should be as helpful to a family in need as strangers as well as to those who are friends and you know their family.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of us clergy need to look at this is not a time to get excuses or be reluctant, but to be terribly wonderfully interested in this family going through a horrible crisis, and we can't afford ever to say, I don't care, I'm not interested, we don't do that. But how can we plan and talk about a ceremony that's kind of fitting in this difficult time? And that opens the door for these people to speak and say what they honestly feel is little things that help them through their crisis, and of course the proper condolences and expressed and to put them in a mode just to be able to talk.
Yes.
But unfortunately, sometimes they are told, we don't do this. I just heard this story today.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sent away in tears, and you can't do that.
So, Father, what did you end up doing? Did you have tell us about the ceremonies that were held for Gabriel Francis.
Well, we found that that as we talked about it in the several days after he was delivered, that we had several days to plan this, so it wasn't like a tomorrow or next day thing. We found that going to having a ceremony in a Catholic cemetery chapel covered all the bases of meeting friends before the ceremony, whether the coffin be open or closed. It was open for Gabriel, and the siblings had a part in the ceremony, and everybody who came thought it was a very sensitive ceremony. And in our clergy book, the Rite of Order for Christian Burials, was 65 pages of ceremonies for infant funerals and burials, and some of the clergy seem totally unfamiliar with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do an adult version. It's not an adult version. It's a unique, the prayers, the readings, and everything. We need to begin to be sensitive to hurting families, whether they are registered, or we know them, they're strangers, or, you know, sometimes they're friends. And so the whole thing was, when could we begin planning this? And how, what would you like to have, not what I insist you do that doesn't fit.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And that's what being a pastor is all about, really. And it sounds like you really encouraged the Malones and really gave an example to all of us about how to handle a situation like this. So we're very grateful to you for your example in this particular instance.
Right, and we can't just say it's up to you, and if we can't send people away in tears, it's between you and the funeral director, as if we don't do any such thing. Right. I think that the clergy got to become sensitized. It's very critical that we respond and take the time and get ourselves involved in this, and not just somebody else on the staff as the pastoral associate. We have to take these difficult ones ourselves and meet with the people and plan to spend several hours, not just appear at the time of the funeral service.
Exactly, exactly. Well, thank you very much, Father. And as you know, of course, Sean and Canberra have used this personal experience to launch an entire ministry to reach out to couples in similar circumstances. So we'd like to have Canberra now explain a little bit about what has blossomed from this and is working in the Columbus area, and which now we want to promote also nationwide. It's called Back in His Arms Again. And, Canberra, did you ever think that this experience of the miscarriage would lead you and your husband into an entire ministry of this sort?
Never. If someone would have asked me in the year 2005 if I would be working for this ministry for life, in this capacity, I would have said, no, thank you, and walked away.
What do you actually do then for couples who experience miscarriage?
We do anything and everything they need. But to name a few examples, what we have done is worked very closely with the Catholic Cemeteries of Columbus. We've brought many resources together in our community as far as burial layettes, having caskets on hand, having good relations with many churches by reaching out and speaking to their Respect Life groups. And, of course, we're very blessed to have Father Blue, who is also listed in our pamphlet and available 24/7 to any family who might need him.
Well, you and Sean felt very alone, distressed. And now, of course, you are making sure that other couples will not feel alone. So we look forward to working with you, with so many others around the country, so that we can treat the unborn child as a full person, both in the circumstance of miscarriage and in every other circumstance as well. So thank you for your witness, and thanks for sharing your story with us today.
Well, thank you, Father Frank. It was really an honor and a pleasure.
Janet, this is a wonderful thing, and we invite our viewers to go to our website. They will be able to see the website that the Malones have set up for Back in His Arms Again, and they will also be able to see the resources they can use in situations like this.
That's right.
Thank you, brothers and sisters. Stay with us now. We will be back for our action segment.
There is a crisis in America. A Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ, and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Welcome to our action segment. Janet, today we're going to give people the most powerful way that they can persuade someone that abortion is wrong.
That's right. You know, basically, abortion, the word has kind of lost its meaning. It kind of is, you know, really, most people don't really understand what an abortion is.
Well, they trivialize it in
exactly.
their minds.
And they also like to say that, oh, well, abortion only occurs in the first trimester or in the first few weeks of pregnancy. But what they have to realize is abortions are occurring in this country through all 9 months of pregnancy, unhealthy babies. And on our website, gospeloflife.com, we have the evidence. We have the pictures of aborted babies. And we know there is nothing that helps convert people to say abortion should be outlawed is to see these images.
Well, we know that from experience because we use these images. You know, it's amazing. Some people will say, well, you know, I don't know if these images really work. And usually the people who are saying that are ones that don't use them. We use them and we see every day the power of people who will come to the website, look at the pictures of the aborted babies and say, I was pro-choice up until a few minutes ago, so I started watching these pictures. So what we're saying is people should take action by challenging those with whom they may be debating the abortion issue to look at it and to say, have you ever seen an abortion? And if you haven't, go to our website, look, challenge them to look at those pictures. Sure. Or they can email the link, or they can download the photos, they can print them out, they can do any one of those things or more to get these images in front of the eyes of as many people as possible.
And then in addition to having the images of the actual aborted babies, we actually have from our friends at Nucleus Medical Arts. Now, this is a company that makes the medical diagrams of surgery
yes.
for court cases.
Yes.
And they have two procedures up there. It's the first trimester and second trimester abortion. And again, people don't realize what happens during an abortion. This is a simple diagram that they can order from us at gospellife.com. And the next time people say, oh, it's a simple little procedure, just a blob of tissue, take this medical diagram out and say that this is what we're talking about.
We will send those diagrams. They're in 8.5 by 11 form. We also have some large poster size versions of these diagrams. But we will send as many of these diagrams as people may want. The sky's the limit. If people can use, you know, thousands of them, we will make them available. Because the diagram is on one side of the 8.5 by 11 sheet, and on the other side are the words of abortionists themselves, okay, not our words, yours or mine, but the words of abortionists themselves describing step by step these procedures.
That's right.
So that when people see the word dismemberment or decapitation, they know that that's not just the rhetoric of some pro-life fanatic. That's the wording used by the abortionists themselves who are performing these procedures legally.
That's right. And then in addition, we have another great resource. It's called The Procedure.
Yes.
And this is a several chapters of a DVD. One chapter actually has a medical doctor describing the abortion procedure with fetal models and the actual instruments that we use during an abortion. Then another chapter shows another medical doctor doing a autopsy on an aborted baby, not doing it, but describing the child, how the child died, mm-hmm. from what type of an abortion, and so forth and so on. And this is a great resource, again, to help convince people the damage that is occurring to that unborn child during an abortion.
So, once again, having these available for one-on-one conversations, for email, for talks and presentations, for slides that one might want to show during a presentation. And, of course, you always warn the audience that they're about to see something that's very disturbing and very graphic. If people don't want to watch it, they can simply close their eyes or turn away. So we don't want to impose things on people that are going to shock or trouble them. But we hope people will watch, of course, because we have to see that we have to let these horrifying images disturb us enough that it prompts us into action to stop the violence.
That's right. I also encourage them to really use the internet to get this message out. A link to these pictures could be as a footer to all your email messages, a simple mm-hmm. challenge. Mm-hmm. And what people have to realize is when they click over, they're not immediately seeing that picture. They have to go through another click or two. So, again, you're not forcing something on them, but it's a challenge to face what abortion really is.
Well, friends, let's take that challenge now and let's look at what abortion does to these babies.
You were looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion. Haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. The Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.